When the global pandemic shut down concert halls and live performances last year, cellist Inbal Segev knew that she couldn't just sit around at home and do nothing. So she and her husband started to brainstorm. And they got this idea to commission 20 composers to write 20 new works for cello in 2020. The first recording in this four-volume project was recently released, and I caught up with Inbal at her home in New York City. So we'll learn more about it this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Elmacher. Talking with Inbal Segev about a brand new project she's working on. It's called 20 for 2020. And before we dive into that, Inbal, can you tell me just how are you? How are you doing? We talked about a year ago when you released your recording with Maren Alsop and the London Philharmonic Orchestra, and now you've been busy on this other project. But how are you doing with your family, your three teenagers, your husband, all in an apartment in New York City? For that long, what did you discover about yourselves?
Well, it's been a challenging year for everybody. I think it gave us time to think about what we want to be when we grow up a little bit. And it was actually good. I'm an introvert, so it was totally fine for me, except for the concerts that I really missed, being on stage and performing and traveling. But you know, everything is good. The kids have each their own room, so we're very lucky. Their schools were hybrid, so they were at home some and at school some. We worked around it, and everybody survived.
Did you have any graduations this year, or is that yet to come?
Yes, actually, my twins just graduated middle school, so that was great. Very exciting time for them. Yeah.
Well, the pandemic has impacted everyone, and it's also inspired many artists like you to document the experience. And you're doing it with a major new commissioning project that you actually started last fall. Why was this so important to you?
Well, my husband and I thought long and hard about what to do with this year. I was a little down, obviously, as many of my colleagues were. Concerts were canceled left and right, and I was like, I can't just sit at home for a year and do nothing. It's just not me. And so we thought, why don't we commission from composers? And that will be a way to both have interesting work to look forward to and also give back to the community. Musicians really needed the money, musicians that we recorded with and the composers themselves. And because everything was sort of was stopped for a long minute, we thought people will have time, people that might otherwise be too busy. So actually, in a way, it was easy to book the studio and get people to be free to come and record with me. So that was actually really good.
This is a four-volume project. It features 20 composers, and you're calling it 20 for 2020, which I'm guessing because that's the year of the pandemic and the year you commissioned these works. Is that right?
Yes, exactly.
Because they're not all going to be released in 2020, are they? Or maybe they, or 2021, rather.
Yeah, no, it was ambitious, but I realized quickly that it's a project that's going to take a couple of years. Composers need time to cook, you know, they need time to think about things. And then I needed time to work on the pieces. And since there's 20, we didn't book all of them at once. First, I reached out to my friends and sort of the people who are more local and were obvious choices to me. And then I started listening and venturing out to a lot of people who I've never heard of before even. And I was really, really amazed at how many great pieces came out of this project. Yeah.
And 20 new pieces, that means 20 new pieces for you to learn, too.
Yes.
Are you excited about that or maybe slightly overwhelmed?
Slightly overwhelmed and excited. It seemed like a piece of cake when we just started reaching out because there was nothing going on. So I had my schedule was open. But now that I'm performing as well and, you know, some of the pieces are easier technically, some are very challenging. And it's a lot to juggle, especially the ones that I'm playing with other performers. So we have to rehearse, and it's a fascinating experience, though.
The first volume has just been released. How did you determine which composers would be highlighted on the maiden voyage of this project?
It was a tough choice. I honestly really fell in love with every single piece that was written for me. I thought that there's so much great stuff there, and it's a lot of things were just right on, like the way I imagined them to be. I wanted to have pieces that are for unusual combinations of instruments, but also to show a big collage, or I don't know how you would say that, as many different views and backgrounds of composers as I could, because it was very interesting to me how everybody reacted to this terrible year. We had the Black Lives Matter that affected some much harder than others, obviously. Then we have hate against Asians. We had, you know, women are still struggling to have equal voice. There's a lot going on in the world, and so I tried to kind of commission from a lot of a balanced sort of roster that way. And I think I chose works that were easily understood, could be easily understood, not only from sophisticated quote-unquote audiences, so that so many people can enjoy them on a first hearing.
You asked each composer to write relatively short pieces. They're all maybe 5 to 7 minutes. Why? Why was the length important?
So one of the, I guess, inspirations for my project was Hilary Hahn did this wonderful project, and I thought I wanted to do something like that, but not exactly like that. I thought that the time called for something a little more kind of with gravitas than encore pieces. I thought that a lot of composers, their voice will lend itself better for a slightly longer piece, but I wanted to have a lot of different composers, so that that kind of dictated that I couldn't have a very long piece. But also I like the idea of having sort of a song length, like in the pop world.
One of the pieces that really captured my attention is the one by Sophia Bass. It's Talnad Naaman for cello, tabla, and tanpura. Tell me about this young Chicago-based composer.
So she, I heard her name first from a student of mine. They both were at Oberlin. She just graduated and she got a Fulbright research grant to go and study in India with ethnic studies or ethnic musicology studies. And that's her passion. And, you know, she writes beautifully. I was immediately drawn to her. During the first months of the pandemic, her father passed away, not from COVID, from a routine operation. Just broke my heart. And so she, you know, had to stop composing for a couple of months, but she came through and she wrote this beautiful piece.
Can you explain the title of the piece, please?
Talnad Naaman is a Sanskrit phrase meaning the coming together of musical sound and rhythm to give pranam, which is honor, to the god. And here is a beautiful short poem. That's why I thought that her father and her believed in God. Do you believe in the Lord above? Do you believe that we are saved in his love? Yes, I believe, yes, I believe. I'm sorry, Mary. It makes me so emotional because, I don't know, there's something very true about this. Just, I'm not religious, but I think it really speaks to this whole time, this whole year.
I want to talk about the piece by Timo Andres next. Agita for cello and piano. And the composer is at the piano with you. What was that like to get to work collaboratively, not just with the composer telling you about the piece, but actually performing the piece with him?
Really, really interesting. He used a lot of interesting special techniques in the piano. He muted some strings and plucked in the string inside of the piano so that the cello sonority and the piano really melded together in a very unique way. He also had some special techniques for me. I used a nail pizzicato, which I've never done before, so I had to grow my thumbnail. It was very funny. I suddenly looked like a guitarist. And then there are a lot of difficult rhythmic inside of the piece, or four against fives, and you know, some patterns that we had to work on quite a bit. At one point, we thought we even needed a click track to make it happen, but we managed without it. So it was really fun. Timo wrote me a concerto a few years ago, and which is phenomenal. And so this was a sort of a different side of his writing, and a very interesting score. Yeah.
I want to talk about that first rehearsal with him, because he jokingly said that this work is, quote, perfect music for relaxing, a relaxing evening at home, sitting by the fire, maybe with a little scotch. So you brought some whiskey to that first rehearsal. So tell me, how did that perhaps enhance the atmosphere of that first rehearsal?
Oh, that's too funny. I don't think we could have managed to read that being intoxicated. So that was just for later. But that's a typical Timo saying. He's very tongue-in-cheek, so... Of course, it's not at all a piece to relax by the fireplace, too. we're both schwitzing is the word, just sweating. It's just really a lot of energy and percussiveness, and it's agitated, as the name implies.
The recording opens with a piece by New York-based composer, pianist, and vocalist Fernando Otero. And this movement comes from a cello concerto that he wrote for you earlier. And this is a new version, right?
Yes.
And it features you with Brooklyn Rider. Tell me more about that collaboration.
Yeah, so one of the first pieces I commissioned, or in fact the first one for cello and orchestra, was from Fernando. It was 10 years ago. And I, you know, it was just not quite right, and I never got to perform it. And now that he rewrote it, it's very exciting. It can be played with a string quartet, which we chose to do this time because of the pandemic, rather than an orchestra, but it can be also played with an orchestra. And I've admired Brooklyn Rider for a long time. I mean, they're doing amazing projects. They're terrific energy. And I went to Juilliard with most of them, three out of the four in the group. So, you know, I thought maybe it's a good time. They're not super busy because of the pandemic. And so it worked. And then Xavier Folly was a fantastic double bass player that we added to the group. And yeah, it was really, really fun to, it was our first rehearsal after a year. It was really, really fun to see, to have that energy.
He infuses tango and jazz and all kinds of creative energy in this piece. How did you navigate those challenges in the solo cello part?
You know, what? One of the things about this project is that I have to learn 20 different languages. It really is a new language, especially this piece and a few others. Tango is not what I do. Jazz is not usually what I do. So it's a different attack, a different style of playing. And I've played with Fernando quite a bit in the past, so I sort of knew that style. But it was still challenging, and just getting all of us on the same page was also a little challenging. I think we did a good job.
Maren Alsop recommended James Lee III be considered for this project, a composer from Michigan. Why? Why did she make that recommendation?
Well, James is a wonderful composer, and he writes so well for cello. Like, he really writes idiomatically. If you hear this piece, it's beautifully written, and he's African-American. He's also a Seventh-day Adventist, so... As a Jewish person, we have some, obviously, a lot in common. And like, for example, he asked that we don't speak on Shabbat, on Saturday, because that's his day of rest. And he happens to also speak some Hebrew, so we had a good time connecting. Echa, or Echa, is the title of the work, and it means, how could it be? I asked him to write something. When I contacted him, it was right after the events of last summer. But I think I could really feel a kindred spirit there, just... because he's close to my people and in his thoughts, and I really appreciate it. I thought that the piece is very warm, and I wouldn't say Jewish, but certainly I understood it. I understood it in a kind of its home way, you know?
It is a very emotional piece. Can you talk about how it impacts you as a performer and why?
Yeah, so as you saw a few minutes ago, I'm very easy to cry, especially these days. But I think I cry when I hear it. I cried when I heard the recording, and I usually hate to hear myself play and definitely hate editing my own recordings, and I don't cry easily hearing myself, that's for sure. So I felt that was a testament to how beautifully you wrote the piece. And how poignant and to the point, and really, and how it reflected the difficult time.
You mentioned that he is a Seventh-day Adventist, and there's an element in the final section that kind of emphasizes that. It's more of a peaceful prayer. And then the time signature moves to 7 in a bar. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I thought that was a beautiful symbolism in the music, that after a lot of strife in the beginning of the piece, there's coming to a sort of acceptance, not resignation, but rather acceptance of I don't know, of human nature, of the situation, of what happened, and sort of moving forward. Maybe, I don't know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he certainly said something about acceptance. Yes, he did say that.
The recording closes out with Lacrimae, which means tears. It was written by Long Island-based composer, who's also a pianist, Bruce Woolasoff. And it's a really powerful piece for cello choir, and you play all of the cello parts. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so Bruce is a friend of mine, wonderful man, and we know his family, my husband and I, and he was the first I asked to join the project, the first I told about the project. So he wrote this so moving piece, and I think something about four cellos together is great. I'm biased, but because of the pandemic, it was easy to sort of just me playing a bunch of parts together rather than having other people in the studio.
Wolosoff said that the title of this piece came to him immediately. Why do you think Lacrimae was the perfect title?
Well, it is. We had a lot of tears. It was in summer, last summer, and a lot of people died, and I think that was on all of our thoughts. It was just a very beautiful piece that really touches the heart. I thought that was a very timely title. Yeah.
Twenty Pieces for 2020 with cellist Inbal Segev. This is New Classical Tracks with special thanks to our producer, Valerie Kaler. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it. Help spread the word and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. And since you're clearly a music fan, there's another podcast you might want to check out, the Piano Puzzler Podcast. Every week, Fred Child invites composer Bruce Adolph into the studio to play one of his brilliant musical mind games. Bruce takes a familiar tune and disguises it in the style of a classical composer. Then a contestant calls in to try to solve the riddle. It's a lot of fun. Check it out. You can find it wherever you subscribe to podcasts. I'm Julie Amacher. This is New Classical Tracks from American Public Media.